This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around. As you can probably tell, the voice is a little rough this morning. It's still this morning. Which is usually a change from what I normally do.
Stuck there.
Oh, yeah, let me turn this off. Yeah, there you go. So, I think I may be fighting a little cold. I'm not really sure. I was around a person that kind of had the sniffles on Tuesday, and maybe I caught it from them. I don't know, or I caught it from somebody else. Who knows? It's not bad. Or it may just be carbohydrate exposure. I went out with a friend on Tuesday night. He really likes Chinese. So we go to a Chinese place, and I try to get the lowest carb, low value, low that I can get there, which is like a beef with broccoli, which is fine, but of course I'm not eating that many vegetables at this point, and it has sauce on it, and the sauce has carbs in it, there's no question. Drinking a little bit of water to try to cut down the possibility that I'm going to cough. So that was Tuesday night. I think it was Wednesday night. I was really feeling it. And kind of just had a little sinus drainage, that kind of thing. And so that has gone on. And then, so I was kind of a little bit under the weather there. And then walked out of the house yesterday without my computer and without my recorder. And I was like, so that's why this is getting uploaded on Friday and not on Thursday. And of course, that throws off the whole schedule. So I was supposed to record this as I was driving home from grocery shopping today on Friday, which is a costume day. And, promptly drove all the way home and then saw the recorder in the trunk and I was like, oh, come on, Phil. And so I'm back in the car driving around. But anyways, all is good. I've already started on the cough stuff and the zinc and all that kind of thing. Just in case it is a little cold, I'll get it knocked down. It'll be fine. Interesting week, still working on some data scrubbing stuff. We came across one little odd bug in a workflow that had been rebuilt. This is one of the ones that I started working, with the new programmer on it because he had rebuilt it and we looked at a few things, didn't immediately see anything wrong. But he's going to take it on and try to figure out what's going on. And so it's like, good for you. Have at it. So if he doesn't make any progress by next week, then I'll hop in. We'll figure out what's going on. But it could just be kind of a weird anomaly. And, sometimes those happen as well. So we'll see how all that goes. So that was, something, and this was the week that we actually talked about my retirement with the administrator over at the main client that I have. And so those are always interesting conversations. He's a good man, and we'll get it all worked out and figured out. Because it's close, it's very, very close. Within 3 days, it will be a year, actually, now. It's a year and 7 months because I'll be retiring in July of 2025. So a year and 7 months, July of 2025. So looking forward to that. We discussed, some possibilities of potentially doing a little part-time consulting for them just to kind of answer questions and take a look at some of those types of things. So, we'll see. We'll see how that all works out. It's been something. I have some cough drops in here that I thought I would go ahead and get. They're supposedly sugar-free, and they have no nutritional information on them, which means they probably don't have anything in them. If they're sugar-free, hopefully they're not going to have too many carbs in them. But so all of that is going well, and everything's puttering forward at work. Lots of stuff to do, but we're going to get to all of it. We should be closing the month of November next week, finishing up cash receipts, and then doing our harvest for all of our expenses, and then, you know, doing the actual end of month. Hopefully this end of month will be quiet and we'll not have the excitement that we had last end of month, but, you know, if we do, we'll figure out what to do next. And God will help us. Sorry, this cough drop feels like it's making a lot of noise. Writing is going fine. I'm editing now book 19. That all the input came in from that. That all seems to be fine. I'm got multiple weeks. I basically have two more weeks to do a read through and get all the final stuff done, and, you know, tweak whatever tweak I'm gonna tweak on the covers, and put out the production versions, and we're good to go. Then I'll get back to book 20. So the writing's all going fine. It's going fine. I thought there was another little story I was going to tell, but it's not an important story. The costuming's going fine. I am working on the big wig, and that seems to be going fine. I've got my substructure built for this big wig, and it will be lands. The dome itself is 12 inches, and then there's a big curl that circles all around it. So the diameter is probably somewhere around 18 inches on this thing. So it'll be wider than my shoulders. It'll be fun. And I'm following up, getting in some sample clothing, figuring out what the rest of the costume is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all fun. The other thing that happened this week that was a little bit of a surprise was that I've been doing some testing, just kind of basic, see where we are, put a stake in the ground, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as far as physical, since I'm 65 now, so I want to kind of see what my numbers are so that I could keep track of them as the years proceed. So I decided I would do a regular vitamin D test. I don't have the results back on that. I did do a blood workup on fats and trans fats and all that sort of thing. That all seems to be fine. I did do also what's called an ApoB, which is supposed to be, I guess, the best indicator for whether or not you are a candidate to have cardiovascular problems. And so I don't have the results back on that yet. But then also, I was listening to a podcaster, and he's a very buff young man, younger man. I'd say he's in his 30s, maybe. But he was talking about the fact that he had had his testosterone level checked, and it was 450. Now, the range for testosterone on men, and it's some kind of milliliters per something, or I don't know, milliamp, I don't know. But anyways, the range on testosterone for men is somewhere around, 100, 200, up to 1,000. Once you get beyond 1,000, according to the current ideas, I'm sure that might change over time, but once you get over 1,000, according to the current ideas, then you're pretty much looking at...
In a quarter mile, turn left onto State Highway CC.
I was just looking to see where we were. So you're looking at a situation where maybe there's... Once you get over 1,000, you're looking at a situation where maybe there's a problem. Not necessarily that there is a problem, but being over 1,000 is unusual for men in this day and age. I don't know what it was earlier. Might have been, you know, different earlier. But anyway, so this podcaster was saying that he got his testosterone level checked and it was at 450. And so he decided that he would go on some of the protocols that the testing company had given for him, and I don't know what they recommended. It included boron and, you know, other things and different things to eat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and that he had gone on their protocols, and within 4 months, he had gotten tested again, and he was like at 1,100 or something, which is really good, you know. And so I was kind of halfway thinking about that. Well, you're 65. I have never in my life been known as a manly man, per se. You know, that's just not who I am. And certainly all of the costumes do not contribute to the easy conclusion that I am a manly man. Which is fine. I don't care. So I thought, well, I should at least get my, you know, testosterone level checked just to kind of see where we are and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I got it checked. I got it sent off the test. I had to fill up a whole ampule with spit and a whole ampule with blood, and got that done. Got it sent off a couple of weeks ago. The company was called Let's Get Checked. Which is, they got all their certifications for, you know, lab work and stuff, and so I'm assuming their numbers are accurate. But I noticed that I had an email in my VeinWorks account. Noticed that in the email that they said, hey, it doesn't look like you've checked your results yet on that, and we're just reminding you again that those results are in. So, oh, okay, well, all right. So, went ahead and signed on. I'm going to turn around here because I'm just driving around since, you know, I didn't get this done when I was coming home from grocery shopping. So, I'm not really familiar with this route, so I'm just going to go ahead and turn around here and head back home. So I get signed in onto their site and look down, and I see that on a line where it's reporting the bulk test results, I see that when I get to testosterone and I get to sex hormone, globulin B, whatever this thing is, both of them say abnormal on them. I'm like, well, yeah, probably. Because I'm expecting it to be like 100, you know. I clicked on that thing, and according to them, my testosterone is at 1,000, which is... Well, it's 1,009, is what they said. Which is either wrong or just silly and ridiculous. Because I'm 65 years old. The normal range for a 65-year-old is 300 to 350. The extreme ranges for men over 60 is anywhere from 180 to... 750, I think, and I'm at 1,000, so I don't know what that means. I went and told my wife, you know, if you see me walking around here with my knuckles dragging on the ground and making gorilla noises. It's simply because my testosterone level is so high. And of course, we've joked as I've been working on my big wig for big wig day, you know, we've joked about because that's what manly men do. Manly men wear costumes that they, or create costumes that they can wear to Walmart. So yeah, it is amusing. Now, one of the sidebar things about this, though, that is interesting, is that I think I mentioned on the podcast last week that over the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months, I mean, there's just been so many things that God has been so good and so kind about. And I was just reflecting on the fact that, you know, it's been so grateful for the sense of well-being and the calm and the, you know, and pretty much no matter what happens, it's like, well, yeah, let's just get to work on this. Let's see what we can find. You know, we'll figure it out. So, you know, maybe it's not gratefulness of God. Maybe my testosterone level's just high. The feeling of well-being is grateful to God. I mean, obviously, that's definitely part of it. But it could very well be, if it's the testosterone level, I can kind of trace back to... it's been, you know, multiple months ago, and it would be about somewhere around when I started on carnivore diet. So it could just be a side effect of the carnivore diet. I need to do some research at this point and just say, you know, have others noticed a rise in testosterone on the carnivore diet? Maybe, I don't know, or maybe I've just always been high. I don't know that I've ever had it tested. So maybe, who knows? Anyways, just a little interesting sidebar. Maybe the fasting has something to do with it. I don't know. But I did come across a podcast this week that just reinforced all the kind of stuff that I've thought about in this one particular area of male-female relationships and female-to-female relationships and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was on Chris Williamson, I think it's Modern Wisdom podcast. And it's really interesting just to hear people coming forward and espousing things from a scientific viewpoint that I have just observed and have told people about simply because it's things that I've noticed from observation and triangulated on it, just doing the same thing that a systems analyst might do when they walk into a business to try to figure out how all the components parts work. So it's always nice when you get some positive reinforcement on some of these things. But the name of the podcast was The Vicious Ways Women Compete. And the researcher was Dr. Tracy Valancourt. Dr. Tracy Valancourt. The Vicious Ways That Women Compete. And what's interesting is this really all does come back to child rearing, child birthing, sex hormones, women's place in the world. Certainly there's been a lot of attacks leveled against what has been termed toxic masculinity. certainly there has been a lot of finger pointing at what are common ways of relating to each other for men. And there's been so much of that that it's easy to kind of come away with an idea that, oh, all of this is bad, and wouldn't everything just be so much more glorious and wonderful if women were just in charge? Now, I was raised in a matriarchal society. So I was raised in an environment where I kind of saw the other side of it. So I never came at it with that sort of euphoric, utopian view that if we could just stop men from being in charge, that everything would be great. But it has been very, very interesting to watch the progression as we have moved through this transition in our society of women moving into the workforce because they had the ability to control their reproductive cycles, of having women come to more prominence in university settings and in, you know, among university teachers, among HR people, and watching the effect that that has on corporations. I have always said that I am so blessed that A, I don't have to be in charge of people, and that B, I work for myself. So I don't have to be in charge of people, and I'm not in a structured environment where I am beholding to a company necessarily for my security. And while I do answer to representatives of my major client, and we all get along well and everything's fine, it's different when you're a contractor than when you're employed. And I have really been blessed to be in that position of not necessarily being beholden to anyone. You know, I go in, I do my work to the best of my abilities, but at the end of the day, if someone wants to fire me as a consultant, they can, and if I want to say, you know what, I'm done here, I can say, I'm done here. And that's been a tremendous blessing. But for others, they do work in work environments, and in some cases, they end up having a boss who is trying to manage them, and in some cases, it's a man, and in some cases, it's a woman. I have worked with many really wonderful female managers. In fact, I can't think of any at my major client that have been a problem. I have heard rumors there have been some there who were a problem, but all the people I have worked with, they're good people. There's never been a problem. Nonetheless, I have made plenty of observations and ran plenty of predictions of what you could get into in working in a female-dominated environment. And in fact, right now, the young man who lives in our rock house is working at one of the major hospitals in town in their emergency room. And healthcare apparently is becoming more and more of a female-dominated space. And in addition to that, there seems to have become more and more demand and need for nurses, which is typically a female-dominated space. And the combination of those things has led to some really interesting environmental factors in medicine. The young man was telling me about someone that he knows who's ex-Special Forces. He's a doctor. You know, he runs one of the major departments down there. But there's a lot of stuff swirling in the zeitgeist about him being mean because he doesn't just roll over and grant allowances, you know, to register nurses. And so he told my friend that, you know, he is on the edge all the time of being fired because he won't kowtow. And he'll tell them what he thinks it should be, and he's accused of being mean, and he knows, he believes that if he would say the wrong thing, he would just be fired. And he points to the fact that apparently there was some highly skilled surgeon at this hospital complex that was just fired. And in order to get somebody with his skill sets, the hospital complex had to rehire 3 different surgeons. Because that's how good this guy was. But this guy had misspoken and he had done something to cause there to be a problem. And once there was a problem, they just, you know, fired him out of there. And so that was that. So, you know. So, oh, just a second. So, and in fact, the young man who lives in our rock house, he's a very straight shooter. I mean, he likes to call out problems when there are problems, and he like, you know, and he just sees that as part of his duty, that if he sees something that's a danger to a patient, he's just going to say something. Well, there have been some problems because the female nurse managers consider that to be back talking to nurses. And he's like, that was a, you know, for him, it's like a non-negotiable. It's like, that is a danger to the patients. And they're like, no, we don't care. You're lying. That's not what happened. And you're back talking to nurses. And everybody knows that. Nobody likes you. I mean, this is the kind of thing one of his managers is, a manager telling somebody, well, that's just because you're a liar, because I've talked to these other people and that's not what they say happened, and nobody likes you here. It's like, that this is like high school. This isn't like a management situation, but there are echoes of all of that in female dominated spaces because women don't use the same tools for control and for aggression as men use. And that's what this podcast was about. So, according to Dr. Valencourt, women are not immune to the temptation to compare themselves to their peers and may be particularly intolerant of those who are sexually provocative or perceived as threatening a power position. So what this was talking about is this kind of first general relationships between women. And it was really interesting because she's talking about the fact, I mean, stuff, you know, confirmed stuff that's obvious to me, that what will happen is, she said, women consider sex to be a resource because that's how they get men to do what they want men to do. And if you've got somebody out there who is blatantly sexual by their dress, what's going to happen is that women will find ways to denigrate that woman. So they won't necessarily just walk up and punch them in the face, you know, as a particular breed of men might be interested in doing. But instead of that direct aggression, they'll use indirect aggression. They'll use side glances. They'll use snotty remarks. They'll use character assassinations, whispers behind that person's back. And so Dr. Valencourt wanted to investigate this phenomenon to see if it really was just because of a woman's presentation, or was it because of who they were with, or was it because of the different ways that a woman did things around them. And so she set up this interesting experiment that she conducted with her postdoctoral student, Anil Sharma, where they invited women into the lab to talk about female friendships and how they deal with conflict. That was the setup. The women were randomized into one of four conditions, with a friend, with a stranger, whether or not they were going to be interrupted by a sexy dressed Confederate or a conservatively dressed Confederate. And the person was exactly the same person. Lisa, who was gorgeous, absolutely, according to Dr. Valen Court, the study found that in the sexy condition, Lisa was treated poorly by everyone except for two exceptions. So what they had her do, what they had Lisa do, was they picked the style of dress for Lisa. They rehearsed her steps, so the number of steps she would take to approach the two women as they talked. What she would do when she encountered the woman. So I think she was going to ask one question about directions, and then she was supposed to walk between the two women and exit. And so she did this over and over again, exact same steps, same questions, same exit. And the only difference was in the style of her dress. And so when they put her in the flaunting dresses, you know, low cut, tight dresses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what they would get was more aggressive behavior from the two women. And so it really was a case of if a woman was going to try to be too sexual or dress too provocatively, you know, that other woman would react to that in very specific ways with indirect aggression. So the doctor also acknowledged that evolutionary significance of sex selection and how society is intolerant of this behavior, but also raises questions about why this meme persists, even when the truth does not align with it. Hold it, I missed a part. Anyways, female competition. So she argues that women tend to use indirect forms of aggression, such as eye-rolling and ostracizing, where men tend to be physically direct. She explained that women are more attuned to this kind of aggression and respond to it more strongly due to the importance of belonging and support for caregiving in female evolutionary history. So it is true that in the past, what you have had is a woman on her own was in great danger. And she was much stronger if she was within a tribe, and specifically a tribe of women. And then once you have this tribe of women and you have men involved, then you have competition between men and women because they have different aims and different goals. And so women become tribal, which is the other thing my friend is experiencing. Because there are several women up at the top that have all kind of formed a tribe. And so if you offend one of them, then basically you've offended all of them. And so you get accused of things, you get yelled at, you get whatever, because, you know, because that's the way these tribes work. So, you know, the speaker also notes that women tend to make more social comparisons with one another than men. And these comparisons can elicit jealousy and lead to negative outcomes, such as depression and anxiety. Women also tend to hold grudges longer and are less likely to move on from perceived wrongs. This is another thing that I was talking to my buddy about. I said, man, you just got to manage the political dynamic, because if you're not careful, you can offend somebody and now, like, you've made an enemy for life. That's the way it would be in the Philippines. If you made someone lose face in the Philippines, they were supposed to be your enemy for life. And you see this more in matriarchal-dominated type situations. It was really interesting. She had a lot of different things that she talked about. I highly recommend it. I just think that we just need to be aware that there can be good female managers and there can be bad female managers and there can be good male managers and bad male managers. And honestly, all of it comes down to love your neighbor and emotional maturity. But just because you're a woman, it doesn't mean that suddenly you have some kind of monopoly on management and you're just going to be a better management than all the men around you. And if we think that, we're in for rude awakenings. And honestly, I have, you know, talked to more than one of my friends who have found themselves in these types of situations and just, I mean, not understanding at all the dynamics of what are going on, because the idea is, well, someone was doing something wrong and I called them out on that and therefore they should be grateful for that. It's like, nobody, no. No, that's not how it works, because some people, you call them out and they do not want to hear it and they will do everything to prove why you're wrong. So it's all just very, very interesting. And I have to say that I'm very, very glad that it's not going to be too much longer, even though my work experience has been wonderful. It has been wonderful. I've been highly blessed. I'm definitely looking forward to retirement. And even if it ends up me working a few hours every week, you know, 8 to 16 hours a week just to help fill a gap, you know, that's okay too. At least it won't have the kind of major, major component that it serves in my life now. And, you know, and I will have more time to do more of those things. I feel like I should apologize for the podcast today, because I feel like I have been rambling because I'm a little under the weather. I think this probably, it's a cold. It's definitely a cold. It's not. So anyways, it looks like I've got 37 minutes, so I should stop talking now. But all of this is really fascinating stuff, because men and women are so different. We have so many different ways of relating to each other. But for now, I'm just going to sign off. This is Phil Farron. I have made it home. Have a great weekend, everyone. Mm-hmm.